This will be our first message out of 8, and all of it will be in the theme of purpose to purity. Right? Purpose to purity. So our text for the first message and this morning will be 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. And then after that, for the second message, later this morning, it will be from verse 3 down to verse 8. And we're going to focus on the first part of the theme, which is purpose. Purpose, all right? So the first two messages will be focusing on purpose. The next four messages, which will be over the next 2 days, we'll go over to the book of Ephesians, and then we'll talk about purity. And then we'll see how it comes together through the example of the life of Daniel. And that will be our final two messages, all right? So that will be the broad outline for our camp for the next 4 days. And I hope that it will be a time where we can really come together and profit from God's word. Okay? So before we start, let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for gathering us together for this camp over the next few days, Lord, as we fellowship one with another, as we spend time studying thy word, as we discuss one with another and share our thoughts. We pray that, Lord, will guide us. The Holy Spirit will be with us. May you touch our hearts through this whole camp. If there are some in our midst who have not yet known thee, Lord, we do pray and ask that this will be a time where they'll truly reflect and think and ponder. And may the Holy Spirit touch their hearts to help them to see and understand their need for a Savior, the sin in them, and how they can come to thee. And Lord, we commit this morning and the next two messages into your hands. We pray that thou lead us and guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first topic that we want to consider this morning is our purpose, our purpose to please God. And you know, even as we begin this camp, as we consider this whole idea of purity and our need for purity, we must begin with this question and ask ourselves, do we want to please God in our life? Do you have the desire at all? As you sign up for this camp, as you thought of coming, as you pondered over this topic, do you have this desire to say that in my life, in everything that I do, in every single aspect of my life, I want to please God? Do we have that desire? Because if that desire is not there, then there's no point coming for camp. There's no point studying God's word. Because then what is your purpose and what is your motivation? It has to be in every Christian. This desire to say that I want to please God. I want to glorify God with my life. Because really, you know, this is a sign to help us to see that I am truly saved. Because if you are truly saved, then you will have this sincere desire in your heart to say that I want to please God. I want to glorify His name. And so we ask, are you interested in the theme of this camp? I mean, when you signed up, I'm sure, well, we do at least take a moment to look at the theme, right? You know, yeah, okay, we're going to come for camp, and yeah, camp is fun, we're going to see my friends, and we're going to stay in church for a few days and do all these activities, but how about the theme? Because that's really what we're here to learn, isn't it? My purpose to purity and how purity can be in practice, which will be the night messages, I believe. Right? If you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, what we see is Paul making an appeal to the people at Thessalonica, the Christians there. And he says, I beseech you, I exhort you, I plead with you, and I really encourage you that you would walk to please God, right? You see that? That you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God. He says, this is my desire for you. I really have this, I sincerely hope that you have this in you. But what is the basis of his appeal? How can he just go to this church and say, hey, this is what you ought to do, you ought to walk and please God? He says, this is what you have received of us. You see that? That ye have received of us. What have they received of him? Is it not the gospel? It is salvation, right? We see that over in Thessalonians chapter 1, where he shared the history of this church. He says, in verse 5 of Thessalonians chapter 1, for our gospel came unto you, not in word only, but also in power, in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were amongst you for your sakes, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. He had this full assurance and confidence to know that all the believers there at Thessalonica have truly received the gospel. when they heard the gospel, when they heard the message being preached to them, they received the word with much joy. They really believed. And from then on, they had this desire in their life to please God. You can see that from the testimony he writes of in chapter 1, that from them sounded out the gospel, that from the time that they received the gospel, straight away they became fervent Christians. They went out, they preached the gospel, not just in the city of Thessalonica, but also in the regions around, in Macedonia and Achaia. And that was the testimony that they had, that they turned from idols to serve the true and living God. You see that verse 9. So they were saved, without a doubt. And therefore, it's on this basis that he says, just as you have received this from us, I hope that you will now be able to walk and to please God. And that is the first, this very important idea that I want to bring across to you, that unless you are saved, this camp will not be of benefit to you. Unless you have this desire in your heart, that because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me, I want to walk and please Him. If not, then all these exhortations will fall on deaf ears, right? Because it really goes down to the question of your motivation. The only appeal that I will have for you from this text and all the other texts is that if you know the Lord Jesus Christ and you have the desire to please Him, the desire to please God, right? Only when you have received the gospel, only you have the Holy Spirit working in your heart, then you will have that desire to be pure. If not, what's the purpose of being pure? What's the point of you know, following all these commandments of the Lord? What's the point of striving to lead a holy life? It has to come from within. It is not what I tell you. It is what you read from the Word of God. And when you read the Word of God, it comes to you to say that this is God's Word to me. I want to follow it because I am a believer. I am a Christian. I have been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, that is what purpose means. It is about your desire. It is about this intention that you have. I purpose in my heart to do something, right? This is my purpose. As a believer, what is your purpose? Right? As a student, what is your purpose? You all know this word, what this idea means, right? That when I purpose, okay, I'm a student, I purpose to study very hard this semester, right? I purpose to finish all my assignments on time. I purpose to study, you know, so many hours for my examination. This is what you decide within your heart. It comes from a desire. It is an intention where I have a certain amount of determination. I will to do something. And often, a purpose stems from a desire, a motivation, right? Why do you want to study so hard? Why do you want to finish all your assignments on time? Well, because I want to please my parents. I want to please the teachers. I want to attain a certain result. I want to show a good testimony in school. And therefore, I purpose to do something. Right? And so the motivation that comes behind our purpose to do anything for the Lord, what is it? The motivation that begins with the fact that I'm saved. I remember what the Lord has done for me. I know that I used to be a sinner. I used to be an enemy of God. And there came a point of time in my life where suddenly I understood everything. I understood what it meant for Jesus to die on the cross. I understood what it meant for His blood to be shed for me. I understood what it means for my sins to be cleansed completely. And now with this new life, I say, I want to serve God. I want to live a life for Him, right? That ought to be the motivation that comes behind our purpose. And it only comes through the Holy Spirit. And so the first question we ask ourselves, right? Why should we purpose? Why should we purpose to please God? What is the point? I mean, you ask any person on the street, anyone who is not a believer or not a Christian, he says, and you ask him, hey, don't you want to please God? And they stare at you and say, what are you talking about? Who is God? I don't know God. I don't have a God. Most people will say that, right? If you do not know God, then there is no reason why you should purpose to please Him. But In this passage, you notice one phrase that repeats twice. And this is the way that he exhorts them. The reason why you should purpose to please God. The reason why you should walk and to please God. Why? You see that verse? You see this thing repeated twice in verse 1 and 2? By the Lord Jesus, right? I exhort you by the Lord Jesus. Verse 2, For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. Why should we purpose to please God? It is because of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. What is the purpose or point of seeking after purity? Why do we want to spend a whole week coming together and talk about purity, holiness, sin, and all these other things? Why? Why are we here? Is it not by the Lord Jesus? By the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has died for you, who has saved you, by the mercies and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, who spared you from eternal torment in hell, and granted you salvation to bring you to heaven. This is the very basis from which Paul would plead to the Christians at Thessalonica. Are you in Jesus Christ? And notice that he says, by the Lord Jesus. He specifically uses this phrase. Now what does Lord mean? Talks about the fact that he is our master, right? He is our Lord. It is by that authority. He says, by this master whom you serve, by this Lord that you have acknowledged in your life, by the authority and name of Jesus Christ, I plead and I ask and I beg that you would know how to walk and to please God. And so we reflect on our own lives. You see, the only reason why I would want to be a Christian, I would want to walk the walk of a Christian, the only reason why I would want to obey, right? A lot of times, many people give us many instructions in our lives. A lot of, you can say, well, people like to nag, right? Your parents and your teachers always like to give so many instructions, do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. In school, you are surrounded by all these rules. Now you ask, why do I want to follow any of them? Why do I want to obey, right? We ask ourselves these questions. When we think about it, what drives me to obey my parents? Is it because of fear? Because if I don't do something, then something will happen to me. Or is it out of love? Because of all that your parents have done for you and say, okay, I want to obey them. I want to make them happy, right? I want to make sure that I show a good testimony. All these other things, all these decisions in your life, why do you make them? Now the same applies for why do we want to purpose to please God? Why? Is it not because of the Lord Jesus? Because of the Lord Jesus in your life? Because of what he has done for you? Because of your salvation? That's the very basis of our appeal. We have been saved, right? Cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and therefore your life ought to be a response in gratitude. Thanksgiving. You know, a lot of times people complain about our generation, young people nowadays, that we are not grateful people, right? It's that we don't know how to show gratitude, we don't know how to appreciate what has been done for us. We kind of expect everything to be just laid out before us and we take everything for granted. Sometimes that's true, you know, because, you know, we've been so privileged since young. Everything has been convenient and easy for us. Our parents have always sheltered us and done everything for us. We didn't have to work too hard. We didn't have to strive too hard. Everything was just there, readily available. And we take it for granted, isn't it? We take for granted the fact that our parents have worked so hard to provide for us. And we expect good food on the table every day. We expect, right, a certain allowance to you know, help us to keep up with our peers, that we can buy the things that our peers buy. We have all these expectations, and when it doesn't come to us, we get very upset. That's the way that, you know, our generation has been, isn't it? Sometimes that leads to our Christian life as well. We kind of expect salvation. I mean, growing up in church, of course Jesus must bring me to heaven. I mean, where else can I go? Where else can he bring me, right? Of course salvation. I deserve salvation. Sometimes we think that way. And we don't realize how wonderful this gift of salvation is. We don't realize that this has been something that only comes to us through the mercy of God. And we take it for granted. We take it lightly. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, yeah, I'm going to heaven. Yeah. But we don't really realize that. You know what was the price that had to be paid? Do you know what the Lord Jesus had to do for us in order that your salvation can be won? You say, it's a story 2,000 years ago. It's happened long gone. Why do you keep bringing it up? We keep bringing it up because the Bible tells us to bring it up. He says, this, you take the Lord's Supper every month or every regularly, right? Why do we do that? This do ye in remembrance of me. remember the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done, and this will really help us go a long way in our desire to please Him. Because you remember what He has done for you. You remember how He went to the cross, how He was nailed there, how He bled for us, how He suffered for no fault of His own. I mean, He was completely innocent, right? But then He went to the cross and He was nailed there. And you know, the suffering was not just the physical suffering, but it was what? It was the wrath of God that was poured down upon Him. The punishment that the whole world desires, deserves, God placed it on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what He's done for us. And so that is the authority that Paul comes to them and says, I exhort you, I beseech you by the Lord Jesus. Remember what the Lord has done for you. And then in response, you say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for your only begotten Son. And therefore, I want, in response, to please you. That is only natural, isn't it? Only natural. To have such a response to someone who has saved your life. I mean, think about it. If someone had given up his life for you, maybe you say, well, Jesus, somehow too far away to imagine. Now I'll bring it to a modern day context for you. You're walking along the street. One day, you are ignorant. You are just listening to your iPod or some music. You're playing with your phone and you're walking across the street, very dangerous. And then suddenly a car comes, hurtling towards you at full speed. And then, before you realize it, someone jumps and pushes you away. You have been saved. But then his legs get caught underneath the wheels, crushed. He becomes a cripple for the rest of his life. What would your relationship to this person be from now on? Will you just carry on your life and say, oh, thanks for saving me, and then you just carry on and waltz away and do nothing for him? Will you do that? We would never, right? Straight away we'll be so guilt-stricken. Know that I was careless, I was just doing my own thing, I was not watching, and he, out of the blue, someone who never knew me before, threw his life on the line and saved me. What will your response be? For the rest of your life, you will forever feel indebted to this person who saved you, right? Wouldn't you? You'll remember that event for the rest of your life. Now, there's just one man risking just his legs for you. How about the Lord Jesus Christ? He was God. He came down to this earth. He lived a life when He didn't need to. He was God. He could have stayed in heaven. He could have enjoyed the glories of heaven forever. But then He came down to this earth to be limited by the body like you and me. To lead a thankless life where He was just mocked, persecuted, laughed at, put to trial for crimes He never committed. Then He went to the cross. Then you think, why should He have done that for me? The Bible tells us that we were yet enemies with God. We had no relationship at all. In fact, before you were saved, you hated God. You did not want to acknowledge God in your life at all. But then there came a point where God came to you. His Holy Spirit touched your heart and said, come. Come unto me. Repent and believe. And then you did. Well, I hope you did. I hope all of us have. That is salvation. And so why should we purpose to please God? Because of what Jesus has done for me. Right? By the Lord Jesus. And therefore, when you call Him my Lord Jesus, it means that He is the Master, the Lord of my life. He's the one in charge. I'm saying, well, I submit my life to you. I let you take control of my life. And everything you tell me to do, I will do because you are my Lord. I am but your servant. That is what we are saying here. And so why should we submit? Because He is my Lord. He is the Lord of my, He's my Master. And as an obedient servant, as a servant who understands and appreciates all that the Lord has done for me, I would then want to walk in a way that is pleasing to Him. So what should you purpose, right? The first question we ask, why should we purpose? By the Lord Jesus. Now what should we purpose? This is instruction that you, as you have received of us, how you ought to walk and to please God. Now we talk about our walk, our Christian walk. Now this is a word that's been thrown around a lot. You see it throughout the Bible as well. This walk, right? It talks about your walk, how you ought to walk and to please God, that He would walk worthy of the Lord, walk worthy of the vocation where you are called. Now walk in love. Walk in wisdom. There's so many walks described throughout the Bible. We're going to see a few of that tomorrow as well when we come to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians is very interesting if you read from chapter 4 onwards, or even chapter 2. There are many mentions of walking. Right? I just very briefly described this to you. You have to turn there by Ephesians chapter 2. Right? It describes how you walked according to the course of this world. How you were followers of Satan. But then you were saved. By grace were you saved through faith. And now you walk in this new walk. What? Well, walk where it is worthy of the vocation where you are called. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. And then it tells you, you don't walk as other Gentiles walk. That's halfway through Ephesians chapter 4. And instead you walk in love. You walk in the light. You walk circumspectly. So what is this walk described? Basically, it talks about the conduct of our whole life, isn't it? Your life, your walk in the past used to be what? You used to follow the devil. Really? You used to be a person who did not do the will of God, you did the will of the devil, and therefore you walked according to the course of this world. But then you were saved. And now, you have a new walk. The Bible tells us that you walk in the newness of life. Romans chapter 6. And so, there are many, all this whole idea of walking comes together, and we look at here at Thessalonians chapter 4. He says, now you walk. How ought you to walk? How should you conduct your life? You conduct your life in a manner that is pleasing to God. It describes our life as like a journey, as a long walk, as a long expedition. You know, When I was in the army, there was this exercise that we did. The name of the exercise was Exercise Long Walk. You can imagine what we did. It was basically a very long walk. There was a whole series of checkpoints stretching from NTU all the way up to Kranji and then all the way down again. So it's quite long. You basically go from the bottom of Singapore to the top and then come down again. It's about a 2-night exercise. And so basically, you're supposed to walk for about 2 days continually until you find all the checkpoints and then you come back to the place that we are supposed to end up at. And so we walk. But along the way, we decided, hey, what's the point of walking so far? What's the point of walking so much? It's tiring. And there were many different groups doing the same walk, and all of us were assigned, you know, a different, slightly different order of checkpoints. And so we decided to contact each other, you know. You find this checkpoint, I find that checkpoint, we meet up together, and we share notes, and then, well, we can kind of shorten the distance that we all have to go, right? After a while, we also got hungry. And I mean, we carried, you know, our rations with us, but if you've tried it before, it's really, really not appetizing at all. It's not meant to be consumed. So what we did was we decided, well, let's get something good. So one of our friends called his dad, and he brought us chicken rice. We hid somewhere along the road. We came up, meet him, got the chicken rice, brought it back in. One of the best chicken rice we ever had. But basically, in the process of this long walk that we had, what do? We broke many, many rules. If we were found out, we would get into trouble. Especially for the chicken rice incident. We would get into deep, deep trouble. Because we were walking around carrying our full gear with our weapons and everything. We're not supposed to go onto the streets and meet civilians and collect chicken rice, alright? But basically, we did this why? Because we thought that, well, we're on this long walk, we can get away with all these little things here and there. We had no desire whatsoever to please our commander. In fact, we were quite upset with him for putting us through this whole ordeal, alright? And so, in the process, we did not please our commander, we did not please the authorities, we just wanted to please ourselves. Cut short the walk. Try to see how we can make the walk as comfortable as possible and try to make sure how we can do it as fast as possible so we can get back to our bounds and relax. That was all that was in our mind. But you know, oftentimes this is how we conduct our Christian walk, right? We want to make it as easy as possible. We want to make it as convenient, as relaxing as possible. It doesn't matter if in the process we break some rules. It doesn't matter if in the process, well, we disobey our master in some sort of way. You see, our army commander, he's not omnipresent. He's not omniscient. He might have suspected that we did some stuff, but, well, he just turns a blind eye and, well, he didn't know the extent of the things that we did. But you know, our master, our God, he knows. He knows exactly how you are conducting your walk. He knows exactly how you are living. He knows every single thing that you have done. He knows every thought that you have, even every single word that you say. So we asked, how is our walk? Your walk is, and he says, how you ought to walk in a manner that is pleasing to your God. That everything that we do, it is all geared towards the fact that I want to please my master. I want that at the end of my walk, when I reach the finish point, the commendation will be, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But he looks at the way that you have lived and say, yes, you have conducted your walk in the best manner that you know how. You have pleased me. Enter now into the joy of the Lord. Is that not our desire? The desire to say that, yes, I want to please God with my walk. Everything, the focus of all that I do. Whatsoever ye eat, whatsoever ye drink, whatsoever that ye do, you do to the glory of God. And that is pleasing to him. That is what he wants. That is his desire. To walk worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ. To walk worthy of this calling that we have. You call yourselves Christians, right? We say, I have been saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says you walk worthy of it. Of this great privilege, great calling that you have received. That you carry this title, Christian. And now you live a life worthy of it. Worthy of it. You know, we have certain expectations of certain people in high positions. You say, well, I'm just a church member, right? But he is a pastor. He carries the word reverend behind his name. And then we have certain expectations of him, right? You say, okay, he shouldn't be doing all these things. He must do all these things and he must live this sort of life. We have a certain expectation. And you say, well, he must be worthy of this title reverend that he carries. We have this sort of thinking, right? Realize we all carry a title as well. It's called Christian. You carry this title Christian. The Bible says you walk worthy of it. You walk in a manner pleasing to your God. And you know, furthermore, it goes on to say that you would abound more and more. Now, what is the meaning of the word abound? Do you all know? It's a word that's sprinkled throughout the Bible. Right? What's the meaning of the word abound? It means basically to increase. Increase. Right? Another very common verse that we see this word, where is it? 1 Corinthians 15:58. You know that verse? I'm sure you do. It talks about being steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And what does abound mean? Always increasing in the work of the Lord. Always increasing more and more. You see that in verse 12 of the previous chapter as well. And the Lord made you to increase and abound. Right? It's the same word, repeating the idea. Increase and abound in love toward one another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. Increasing more and more. You know, we can never be complacent or satisfied about how our walk is. You may think, well, I'm alright. Yeah, I think my life is pretty good at this moment. I think I'm on track to please the Lord. I think, well, many things I do, I signed up for YF Camp. I'm here the whole week. I'm serving in so many different areas. Oh, you know, I'm doing so many things. I go to church on Sunday. I've been attending Sunday school since I was a kid. I am quite pleasing to the Lord, you may think. Right? Sometimes we get complacent and we think, well, I'm alright. But then he says here, no. You walk and you please God so you would amount, you increase more and more. That your walk will be more and more pleasing to the Lord. That your whole Christian life, your whole understanding of God, your knowledge of the Bible, it has always to be on the upward. Upward. Christian growth. Christian maturity. That is always how we must strive towards. Never complacent. Your walk with God today must be or should be better than it was last year. Is it? And your walk in a year's time has to be better than it was today. That's how it always ought to be. We are in this process of sanctification. We're going to see that in the next message. Of a continual increase. When we started at this particular point, we knew so much of the Bible, we were that close to the Lord, But as we go, we increase more and more and more. So our walk, this is what we must purpose as well. That my walk is pleasing to God, but that also my walk will be more and more pleasing to God in the days to come. Always, continually. That ought to be what we purpose. When we purpose to purity, when we purpose to sanctification and holiness, when we purpose to walk with the Lord, this ought to be our purpose, more and more, sweeter as the years go by. And so finally, the last idea that we want to consider is then how should we purpose? Alright? So we consider why should we purpose, and that is by the Lord Jesus Christ. What should we purpose? We abound in our walk to please God. And now how should we purpose? The answer comes in verse 2. He says, you know already, right? How can you abound in your walk to please God? You know the commandments that we gave you by the Lord Jesus. Very, very simple. You ask, how can I please God more? How can I know how to please God more? How can I abound in my walk? Very simple. It is right before you, on your lap, in front of you. The Word of God. The commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? That we may please Him who has called us. How do we please Him? We study His Word. If you love me, keep my commandments. If we say that I want to please God, what do? I obey His Word. I study His Word. Not just read His Word, but to learn it. What? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt what? Meditate therein day and night. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that He has commanded you. That is how we can have good success. That is what the Lord commanded Joshua. That is the common command that is given to us throughout the Bible. The Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God. We cannot emphasize this more. This is so important in your Christian life. To read the Word of God daily. That's what we sang just now, right? That we will read, that we will grow, that we will grow every single day. As the Lord has helped us in the past, the Lord will continue to help us, but we must do our part. We read the Bible. This is the instruction guide, right? To teach us how you walk. It's kind of like a manual, a guide, a teaching aid. You say, I know how to walk. Yeah, I know how to walk physically. But someone had to teach you, right, in the past. And if you really want to know how to walk well, do you know there's a lot more that you can learn? Have you ever watched those Olympic walkers? It's an event where they walk. And I'm sure if we try to do that, we're not going to last at 1 kilometer, not to mention 40 kilometers to the distance they walk. It's a special walk, a technique to teach them how to walk very, very fast over a long period of time. I'm not saying we have to walk in that way, but what I'm saying is that even something so simple and basic as walking, it has to be taught, right? A child didn't know how to walk the moment he was born. No, he crawled. In fact, he didn't even know how to crawl in the first place. He had to be strengthened first, right? Grow some muscles, and then he starts to be able to prop himself up on his stomach, and then on his fours, and then he takes tentative steps. The parent will always hold his hand, guide him, and pull him up. Then he flop down again. Pull him up, flop down again, right? Until he starts to strengthen his legs, then he can start walking. And even then, it was an unstable walk. He would walk a few steps and fall down, walk a few steps, fall down. And after that, we continue to strengthen ourselves. So now, okay, we're pretty good, I believe, at walking. But then if we were told to, you know, go on an expedition, a long walk, right, to walk for 100 kilometers, 200 kilometers, or go on a 20-day hike or a 50-day hike, a lot of us won't be able to do that, right? Because we need to learn, we need to train, we need to practice our walk, even our walk. That's what the Bible is here for, spiritual walk. How do we learn how to do our spiritual walk? The Bible. The Bible. None other than the Word of God. Read your Bible, pray every day. I mean, these are the simple instructions that we've been given since young. But yet so often we forget, we neglect. We put it aside, thinking that I'm alright. I'm spiritual enough already. I know many parts of the Bible. But do you really know the Bible? Do you really know who God is? You know, when you want to please someone, right? When you don't know the person very well, it's quite hard to do so. Say it's a person that you recently met, and the birthday is coming up. What should I get the person? I don't know. What is he like? What does he don't like? I'm not very sure because I don't know him very well. But if it's someone that you've known your whole life, your parents, your best friend, you know how to best please him, right? You know what makes him tick. You know that by doing something for him, oh, he'll be so happy, so pleased. You know whether organizing a party in this manner or giving him this particular gift, would it make him happy or sad? You know. How do we know how to please God? Is it not by knowing God better? How do you know God better? How do you know Jesus Christ better? Is it not by reading His Word? That is how we know Him, right? By knowing Him through His Word. You read the Old Testament. You find out how He deals with Israel. You say, this is just a collection of stories. No, these are precious stories teaching us how we can know how God dealt with His people in the past. And we know that God does not change. The same God that dealt with Israel is the same God that dealt with us. You read the Gospels and you see how He interacted with His apostles. You see His love, you see His compassion. You see all different aspects of the Lord Jesus Christ. And through that, you know Him better. You know Him. And when you know Him, then you know how to please Him. That's what the Bible is for. And then throughout the Bible, sprinkled with so many instructions, exhortations, commandments, teachings. All these gather in our minds, collated together. And this really helps us in instructions and instructs us on how we ought to please the Lord. This is something so important, I cannot stress it too much. Read the Bible. Don't just read. You learn. You meditate on God's Word. You study it. Sometimes we think we can just go by reading. And then you read after a while, you say, I don't understand. And then you get discouraged and you put it aside, right? So difficult, so many words, I don't understand. We realize the Bible doesn't just say read, you know. The Bible says you learn, you meditate, that you read a passage and you let it flow through your mind. You ponder on it, you chew on it slowly. And you consider and you ask the right questions and say, what does it mean? What does this portion mean? What does that portion mean? Right? You meditate. And I noticed in your camp booklet, you put a few portions of the RPG. I believe it comes from a teen's RPG. And that's from a whole series that says, how to study the Bible. I'm not saying it's an excellent guide, but it's something useful I believe you can pick up and try to use it to aid you and to guide you. Sometimes you ask, how do we study different portions of the Bible? And through this series of the RPG, we kind of guide through the different genres of the Bible. Narratives, what are epistles, what are prophecies, what are poetry, what are all these different aspects of the Bible, and how can we begin to study it better? How do we understand? How do we pick up key points? How do we outline the Bible? How do we do all these steps to help us to better study and understand God's Word? It's a commandment, right? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This is the instruction that God has given us. You study, you put in the effort, you be diligent to know the commandments. That's what Paul said. You know what commandments we gave you. And so there was this assumption that they already had a certain sort of understanding of what the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ were. But that's just one aspect first, to know. But then there's this whole other aspect to do, right? A lot of times we know. And you say, yeah, I know. I know the Ten Commandments. I know what is right and wrong. And especially having grown up in church, being churched since young, one affliction that we have as those who have been in church for many years, you say, I have head knowledge. Yeah, I know a lot of things. There's a lot of instructions that I can teach even. I can debate with you about what's right, what's wrong. But then you do. Because that's the whole other aspect that is so much more difficult, isn't it? To actually obey. You know the commandments, but do you obey them? Because that is the part which is really pleasing to the Lord. The Bible says faith without works is dead. No use understanding and believing and saying all the right things, but if you do not show works, right? If your knowledge does not result in action, how do we please God? How should we purpose? Of course, we have the Word of God in our hearts. But then at the same time, we also purpose to say that knowing all these things, that I want to put it into practice. How shall we purpose? You obey the commandments, not just know the commandments. You obey the commandments. That's the final song we sang. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Obedience. Obedience is again key. In our quest to please God, in our quest for purity, a lot of times it just boils down to that. Am I going to obey the commandments of God? A decision, a choice is set before me. I either do one thing which I know pleases the Lord, I do another thing which I know displeases the Lord, does not give me purity, brings me down the path of sin. Which one will you choose? How do I purpose? I purpose by beginning to say that I will not entangle myself with the things, affairs of this life, that I may please Him who have called me to be a soldier. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2. Right? No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life. We must have that purpose in our heart. I will separate from this world. I will separate myself unto God. I will take His word seriously. Understand it, know it, and then do it. Live it out in my life. That is the key. That is the way in which we can purpose to please the Lord. And so as we begin this first message, and as we ask ourselves, really, do we have this desire to please the Lord? Is this in me? I hope that we can all ask ourselves sincerely this question. And if the answer is a lackluster answer, it's just, well, kind of. Or maybe not. Or you say, I have no desire at all. It's really a time that we stop and think and pray and ask if the Lord is really in my heart. If I have really believed, if I have really repented of my sins. And we are still not sure. Well, it's good to ask some of the seniors around here. Or you ask me as well. I'll be happy to answer your questions on how we can really have the desire within our heart to please the Lord. Let us serve the Lord here. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for guiding us through this first message. You truly place this desire in my heart to say that I want to please You. That through my whole life, my actions, my thoughts, everything that I do, may You help me to lead a life, have a walk that is pleasing to Thee. We thank Thee and praise Thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.